Hello and welcome to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. We're brought to you every week by our sponsors, precisionhydration.com.
Precision Hydration offer electrolyte drinks in different strengths to match how you sweat. Personalise your hydration strategy today at precisionhydration.com and get a free box or tube of pH worth up to $9.99 using the code OXYGENADDICT.
We're also brought to you by foodcell.co.uk.
The next generation of nutritional carriers designed to allow endurance triathletes and cyclists to carry enough food and gels while allowing easy access. You can get 20% off with the code OXYGEN20. That code is valid until the 9th of September 2018, so it is ideal for Ironman Wales. Check it out at foodcell.co.uk.
Yes, you've got a few days to get your order in there and get that sorted. And so hello and welcome to the show. It's great to have you back on. How are you doing, Hels?
Great, Rob. It's that feeling of, can I even write my name again? We haven't hit record together for a couple of weeks, have we?
That's right. A couple of weeks of holidays for the pair of us. I had a week away in France, and Hels, you had a week away in Portugal, didn't you?
Yes, we had a bit of a pedalling Portugal.
So we had a couple of episodes out. We don't like leaving it blank, and I have this thing, Hels. I sort of think I would miss the podcast if it wasn't there. I love listening to podcasts, and when my other like podcasts I listen to go away and have a break, it's like, what happened? Where are they? Why is it not updating? Are they okay?
Yeah, I'm with
so
you. I'm
we
with
had
you.
A couple lined up to auto publish while we're away, so that all looks like it's gone nice and smooth. We got some good feedback about Fraser Cartmell interview last week, and we had some fantastic feedback about your blood, sweat, and tears special from the
all
week
gears.
Before, Hels. Was it
blood,
gears?
Sweat, and tears.
Yes,
gears.
That's what I meant. Same thing.
Basically, the period special.
Blood, sweat, tears, and gears. We should have called it
tears and gears and everything else. Rob, loads and loads and loads of good feedback about that one because it was a topic, or it is a topic.
Hot topic. Yeah.
That not a whole load of people often open up about or talk about. Indeed. So if you haven't heard it, please do go back and listen. And remember, we were sponsored that episode by Threo as well, which is really cool kit for women. It's beautifully designed, fits and flatters, and you can get £10 off any order over £40 and a free swim cap with all orders at threo.co.uk using the code OXYGEN10 until the end of September. So that's threo.co.uk.
Cool stuff. And so any ladies in your life, get them listening to that, gentlemen. Have a little listen yourself if you haven't, but also it might be, who knows, maybe that podcast will be the gateway drug to get your ladies in your life into triathlon if they're not already.
Do you reckon?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah,
who
I've
knows?
Had some friends that I've recommended it to have got no interest in triathlon but do other kinds of athletics, and they've all come back with really positive reviews and said, do you know, I never even thought about this, that, or the other. So, yeah, it was good.
Oh, well,
branching
outside
of triathlon, Helen, you're showing your proper journalistic training with all of that. It was great.
Well, lots of people have said that they've benefited from it, and the Fitter Woman app as well, and they've looked more into that, and just getting people talking and linking people up and stuff like that. So, yeah, really do go back and have a listen. And, Rob, this week we've got plenty as well, haven't we, coming up in this week's show, including an interview with Sophie Caldwell.
Yeah, great interview with Sophie Caldwell, who recently became the European sprint distance champion. And we've also got some results coming on up. It's obviously the massive weekend of the World 70.3 Championships out in South Africa with some just amazing racing. So should we jump straight into that and we'll talk about that?
Yes, I think we should,
Rob. That's the way to go. So first up, shout out to our longtime sponsors, precisionhydration.com. So I've got to tell you the story, Hels. Went out on holiday to France. It was, as I'm sure you probably experienced when you were out in Portugal, baking hot.
Yes.
I had to keep on top of the hydration out there. It was, first of all, it's hot during the day. I'm sleeping in the camper van, which first of a time in the camper van, sleeping out in 35 degrees heat. And it turns out the camper van is like a tin can all day sitting out in the sun. You open the door and it's hotter inside than it is outside. So there was plenty of precision hydration getting drunk for me just to basically keep on top of the sweating that was happening as I was sitting around. When I went out for a run or when I went out for a ride, it was just almost unbearable. Even running alongside by the sea, it was so hot that You know, when you can feel lying in bed at night that your calves are on the edge of cramping, and they saved my life again, these sachets, just keeping the electrolytes in balance for me, just having a holiday by the sea. So check them out, everybody, precisionhydration.com. If you're a very salty sweater, or you sweat a lot, or you suffer from cramps a lot, get over there and you can do an online sweat test. If that points towards you being heavy or a salty sweater, you can have a sweat test done in real life. Using the code OxygenAddict, you can get $9.99's worth of free products from them just to try it out. So it's basically free to try. And it's really good electrolyte tablets that don't taste of salt. They don't make your drink taste salty. So for anyone who's having those problems and is worried that the drink is going to be like the old school Lucozade type salty, unpleasant drinks. No, we don't like that. Get some of that down, yeah. It will take your cramp worries away. So again, use the code OxygenAddict to get $9.99's worth of free product.
So we used it every day in Portugal.
Oh yeah, because it was, how hot was it where you were then?
The first day, I dread to think how hot it was in the middle of the day when we were cycling. Just basically heading north from the Algarve.
So you flew into the south of Portugal and you rode every day. Okay.
And flew out of Porto, and we went up the centre of the country, which is what every sensible person does. I mean, if you had said to me, Helen, I'm going to go to Extremadura in Spain in August, I'd be like, yeah, are you off your mind? Okay. And we basically did the same.
So it wasn't like the fresh sea breezes keeping you cool. You were sweating your shoulders off every day, were you?
We were absolutely sweating. The first day, we got on our bikes at 10:30 in the morning. Thank you very much, Ryanair. Their fault. And we would have been on our bikes earlier. Honestly, Rob, by 3, 4pm, I had reapplied sun cream and, twice, I think.
Yeah.
By 3, 4pm, my thighs were covered in heat rash.
Oh, really?
Had to go to the pharmacy on day one.
Oh, bless you. Yeah. So, how far did you ride every day?
It was around about between sort of 75 and 90 miles.
Wow, so proper long days in the saddle as well.
Big long days in the saddle, yep. I even invented leg flaps, Rob.
Leg flaps? Well, go on.
Right, okay. So just imagine your thighs are covered in heat rash. Yeah. And really not sensible to be seeing much more sunlight.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, what do I do? I was really thinking, I'm not going to be able to do this, because you can't, it's almost like you need to just keep them in the shade for a couple of days and keep on putting cream on. It wasn't really an option. Then over breakfast, I had a brainwave. I was like, oh, I could use one of my tops. So I took an old top.
Yeah.
Got an Allen key, shoved the Allen key in near the seam, ripped the top in half.
And then made something to cover your legs over with.
Made something to cover my legs, yep.
Genius.
It worked wonderfully. So it was fine.
Cheaper than sunblock. You heard it here first, everyone.
Leg flaps. Way forward. Yeah. Anyway, Rob, South Africa.
Well, I'll tell you what, heat wasn't something that they had a particular problem with in South Africa, looking at the weather. It was not the baking hot weather that everyone had hoped for sure. First of all, we'll kick it off with the ladies' race. I don't know whether you got to see much of it, what with you flying back, but I managed to catch some of the highlights. I didn't see the actual coverage of it. But, man, there was some serious racing going on. Lucy Charles had about a minute and a half, I think, on the main group out of the water. And at this point, we've also got to say, you've just seen the video, haven't you?
Yeah.
You love a bit of body surfing for Fenella Langridge.
Fenella. Absolutely tip top. Honestly, I have you could just watch this on repeat.
Yeah, so get over onto the Ironman Tri Twitter feed, sorry for cutting you off. And there's a great clip, isn't there, of Fenella body surfing away from the group and getting about 20 meters by putting away. Fenella, you can come surfing with me anytime. That was amazing skills. So battle of the day, Lucy Charles has got a minute and a half on the group. In about 40k, Daniela Reef rides up to her, and at this point I was thinking, okay, this will be interesting, let's see if she gets ridden away from and how fast, and she just stuck with her. So obviously Lucy'd saved a bit under the saddle, but her biking has seriously improved. It'll be interesting to see what the gap is at Kona and how long it takes Daniela Ryf to catch her that time, if at all, because she looks super, super strong. And then the pair of them came into T2 together. And you're thinking, right, run battle. But hats off to Daniela Ryf. She absolutely stormed it on the run.
Should have won 17, didn't she?
Yeah, it was such impressive running. Did you notice in the video clips that Daniela Ryf also, she's got like a trisuit open to the waist. Apparently a
Yes.
zipper broke.
She did mention that in her afterwards. She said I
It's
had a
not
bit of a
ideal for
clothes wardrobe
aerodynamics,
malfunction,
is it?
and she still can do that. I honestly, she I saw in the podium photo she actually had a tracksuit on at that point.
Well, bless her. Yeah, not ideal from an aerodynamics point of view, and it's not the best finisher's photo, is it either, really? It's not
Oh,
quite
it'd
as bad
be.
as, do you remember Chris McCormack's one when he won Kona, when he had sponges pushed down the front of his top to stay cool? Have you seen that photo?
But you know what, Rob? I don't think that'll be on her mind.
No, that's true.
That will not be on her mind. It might be on her sponsor's mind, thinking, "Oh, geez, I pay good money for that," writing on the top. But what can you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, we had the win for Daniela Ryf in 4:01. Lucy Charles stayed solid on the run for a 4:04:59, and run of the day was Anne Haug in third place, coming through with 4:07. So fantastic running from her.
Yeah, she'd have won 15, Rob,
Yeah,
didn't
it's
she?
impressive running, isn't it, that?
Really, really good. And what is super exciting is that the three of them will all be racing in Kona.
I'm very much looking forward to that. I think I will be interested to see whether Anne Haug's run form translates to the full marathon. Because there's something about a really strong runner that means at the back end of that marathon, as other people are starting to fall apart, she could really be putting the pressure on with sort of 3 miles to go. Mentally, people will be wondering if she's coming, you know?
And Rob, Lucy Charles as well. That's a great run from her. 120.
It really is.
It's fantastic. And
Yeah.
I just, oh yeah, I just, I love the fact that, she didn't come from a triathlon background as a youngster. Yes, she came from that swimming background, but effectively, she has really developed that
Yeah.
biking and that running
And she
to
stayed
match.
injury free on the run this year. That's been the key, hasn't it? She's not got injured running, and you've seen that fitness come through. I saw a tweet the other day by
About Park Run?
No, it was a
Oh.
tweet by Lucy Gossage that said something like, 2 years ago, I gave a talk at this girl's tri club and she couldn't ride a bike. And now she's doing this. So it underlines, really, I can't remember exactly what the dates were, but it was something like that. And you think, wow, you know, that's really, really super impressive. So,
That's
yeah,
great.
looking forward to another great battle out in Kona there. Nice work.
And then Rob, the men's race. Boy, oh boy.
They went at it. And if anyone here hasn't seen it, check out the clips that have been posted on Twitter, or check out the clips over on Ironman Live, because it was a real, I think it's the first, I don't want to say the first real proper race we've seen at 70.3, because that's not true, but three absolutely world class in the peak of their life triathletes trying to kill each other from the gun. They were drilling each other in the swim. There was Ali Brownlee was attacking on the bike and trying. It wasn't just like a let's all settle in and ride the pack together. Every time the road went uphill, Ali Brownlee absolutely smashed it to try and get away. And it looked like, you know, two or three times on the coverage, it looked like he'd got away and got a gap, and it sort of showed him looking over his shoulder and back down the road. And you couldn't see anybody for the couple of 100 yards that were there. But then it ended up as a sort of a pack of six riding pretty darn fast. And then,
Frodeno said afterwards, Rob, he said that I think Ali Brownlee in his post-race interview had said something like, didn't get any help on the bike apart from, it was only him and Jan Frodeno who were sort of doing all the work on the bike.
yeah.
Frodeno said that I think Ben Canute came up once to do like a turn on the front, but yeah, effectively the two of them were the ones who sort of pulled everyone else.
Who drove it?
Yeah, drove the train.
And then onto that run, Ali Brownlee went off like it was I think there were reports. Yeah, there were reports he was running 250 kilometers at the start of it. He got gapped a little bit by Frodeno coming out of transition and ran up to his shoulder and went straight past him. Mm. And they were absolutely flying. It was it was proper running races, surges, people dropping back, people getting cramps in the stomach, people walking, people exploding, people getting themselves back together. It was just such a great race.
It's cool, and it's really good to have seen, 2008 Olympic champion, 2012 Olympic champion, 2016 Olympic champion, Javier Gomez, who, had he not been injured in 2016 to miss those Olympics, would have surely been up there. You know, he has been a dominant force across every triathlon discipline, and then breaking into Ironman this year, and to have the three of them going head to head, it was just great.
Yeah, and you've got to say shout out as well to Javier Gomez, because he got these stomach cramps and stitched so bad he had to stop and walk for a bit, and he still ends up running, what did he run, like a 67 minute half marathon? It's just staggering, with a walk break in the middle.
Yeah, 108.
Just incredible. I can't wait. Can't wait for Kona.
Yeah, I know. Have you booked out the weekend already, Rob? Have you? Is it free?
Yes, as always.
Oh, excellent. Adam Bowden as well. We'll give him a shout out. Seventh in his first 7 week really well, World Championships. He? Yeah, he did a 110 run, I think.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. All right, then. Next up on the old podcast, hells, I've lost my place on the page. Where are we, hon? Help me out.
Well, Rob, we're going to give Chris Standage a huge shout out.
Age groupers. Yeah, there we go.
Because Chris Standage went and won his age group at the Ironman 70.3 World Championships in South Africa.
Second overall. Brilliant. Storming performance from him. He was only a couple of minutes down on the lead pros with his swim time. And I think he closed it out with a 118 half marathon, I think, from memory. So gold for him in the male 30 to 35 to 39 category. Chris has been pretty much undisputedly the best, I think, British all-round age grouper for the last couple of seasons. Now the best age grouper in the world over the 70.3. I know he's been managing some run injuries as well, so it's brilliant to see him. I remember he led off the bike at one of the Outlaw halves, didn't he, and didn't do the run because he was managing his run recovery. So super smart for him there, and it's obviously paid off with that win in his age group and second fastest overall in the world. So not many people can say that. So well done, buddy. That's a brilliant performance, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And the other winners of the age groups from Great Britain were Erica Fogg in the 40 to 44 and Clive Kennedy-Byrne in the male 45 to 49.
Great stuff. All right then, so we're going to go and talk about our interview of the week. But before that, we're going to give a shout out to sponsors Foodcell. So, Hells, I took the old Foodcell out to France with me, and I've got to say, it was pretty handy for carrying stuff around on the top tube as we were cycling up and down the coast roads of France. The thing I really like about it is you can actually get your food into it and out of it easily as you're riding along. Nice sliding mechanism on the top, sits there dead secure in the top tube, even when it's secured with the Velcro straps. I could get the litter back in afterwards after I'd eaten something. And there's enough room to get food in there for me and people I was riding with as well. So plenty of room for snacks in there. So really, really impressive. You can wash it out afterwards easily because it detaches from your bike really simply. So no problems getting bits of food stuck in there and it all going nasty and disgusting. And the reports from the CFD testing say it's more aerodynamic having one of these on your bike than not having it on. So no worries about having the standard sort of bento box that flaps about in the wind and costs you time in terms of aerodynamic drag. This thing certainly is aerodynamic neutral, and with some bikes, some of the more top-end ones that have got the bigger top caps on the back of the stem, they actually test faster with this on than without it as well. So it's well worth a look. British company as well. So the owner, Mark, is a triathlete, a very good triathlete at that. And again, give you a shout out, Mark. Hope that the old collarbone's healing. Gutted for you that you missed out on Ironman Sweden because of that. And you can get that for the rest of this week as we record. It's up to, is it the 9th of September, Hells?
Correct. The 9th of September 2018, 20% off with the code OXYGEN20 at foodcell.co.uk. Now, Rob, I took my food cell to Ironman Copenhagen with me.
Oh, yeah.
I was not racing, but I was there as a race host with Race Force. And I showed it to some of the guys who and some of the girls that were there. And the listeners to the show had heard us talk about it. And they were like, oh my God, that's really cool. So they were looking at it and yeah, they
people
were very
do genuinely seem to like them when they see them, don't they?
Yes. They were like, oh my God, that is brilliant. And it because one of the guys was saying that he couldn't fit really anything on his or the thing that he did have was just and I
looks
saw
great,
it.
Looks great but like, can't get anything into it, right?
How are you meant to even get your fingers into that?
Yeah.
Whereas with the food cell you really can. So yeah, they were all super, super impressed. So check it out, foodcell.co.uk.
Yeah, and remember that 20% code finishes at the end of this week and it's not going to be repeated after that. So get on it now, everybody. That's our advice to you.
Oxygen 20.
Okie dokie. Right, so Sophie Caldwell then, Hells.
Yes. Now, Rob, I really, really enjoyed speaking to Sophie Caldwell. Sophie Caldwell is one of the GB ITU stars. She is very good friends with Jodie Stimpson, as you will hear shortly. When we recorded the interview, I don't think she had quite, I don't think the plan was that she was going to be racing at Gold Coast. But since recording the interview, she said, stoked to be heading back to the Gold Coast for the senior grand final. Managed to sneak my way onto the start list now to find my big girl pants. So this is brilliant, perfect timing ahead of that grand final in the Gold Coast in basically a week and a half's time. So here we go. Here is this week's interview of the week with Sophie Caldwell. Sophie Caldwell, hello and welcome to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Excited to have a chat with you guys. So yeah, no, should be good.
It should always we try to make it good.
Depends what I'm chatting about, so
exactly does depend. Now, first up, Sophie, you describe yourself. There's like four things on your like Instagram and Twitter. How you describe yourself? What are they? And explain them.
Well, I'm a triathlete. Pretty obvious, kind of what I do all the time. What is it? Triathlete, chocolate lover, love chocolate, absolute weakness in any form, whether it be cheesecake, ice cream, pure chocolate form. But I'm a Nutella hater. I'm not a fan of Nutella, and that also widens to peanut butter. Really not a fan of those spread sort of things. And then dog lover, I think was else in there. Absolutely love dogs. I've got two of my own. Foster for a couple of charities. My record's not brilliant, failed twice, hence why I have two dogs. And DIY guru, or I think is what I describe myself as. I got a house in January last year and I am slowly but surely doing it up with a bit of help from my mum and dad. So they give me a few tips and come down and help me out. But yeah, so bit more than just a triathlete, I suppose.
I love that. I think you need a European sprint champion on there now as well.
add a title in there, it'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think I'll just leave it as triathlete.
I like that. You are recently European sprint champion. How was it?
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise, really. I think my season kind of changed a little bit after Leeds. The ITU have a rule that you can only have five from one nation competing at World Series level, and being British and, you know, and the incredible girls we have on the squad, I'm currently ranked number six, so I didn't get a start for Hamburg or for Edmonton, so had to change my season a little bit and decided to go race in Tizzy for a World Cup and then go on to Tartu, and it's kind of a bit of a points chase. I need to get some points to kind of get back on those start lines, but yeah, so kind of went there as kind of plan B for the season. So yeah, to come away with the win, I was really happy with that. And yeah, so couldn't really complain about that. And the girls, Beth and Soph and Liv were out there as well. And for all of them, it was their first like championship as at the senior event. So yeah, it was really good for all of us, really. And yeah, it was a good weekend.
Did you ever intend to do the European Championships in Glasgow as well, which is standard distance?
Originally, like my original plan was to race Hamburg and Edmonton and then come back in for Glasgow. But I then got a start for Montreal and the decision was made that because I've not had you know, as many starts this year at the World Series that I would have liked, we kind of decided that we would just solely focus on Edmonton, and unfortunately miss Glasgow this year. But it was a decision that wasn't made lightly. You know, I really wanted a race there, and especially after Kitzbühel last year. But I think for me at the moment, two Olympics basically 2 weeks apart is just too much for me at the moment. And the decision was made to prioritise Edmonton, like I say, because I've not had as many starts this year as I'd have liked.
And so you're saying they do it, like they go on rankings and things like that. So up and down in a season, obviously can that change and then you get more starts? Does that make sense?
Yeah, basically. So what happens is British Triathlon will nominate the athletes forward to the ITU for the event. So British Triathlon have nominated me. You know, they've kind of said, we think you're good enough to race at that level. So I was nominated for the races. But because the races have been full, the top five would only get a start because we're capped at five. So the only way I'd then get a start would be if the start list wasn't full, and then it would roll down. But even then, it would roll down to, even though people would have less points than me if they're from a country that doesn't have five people, you know, they've not maxed out their quota, they would get a start ahead of me. So yeah, and the points thing, it can change through the season, but yeah, I've just not had enough points to kind of get in front of the other girls. So it's hard. I mean, in one hand, it's really good that, you know, we've got five girls that have got, all of them have got WTS podiums, multiple WTS podiums now. And, you know, to get a start, it just means, you know, you're kind of at the level to be able to challenge at the front of a race. But obviously on the flip side, it's hard when you can't even get into the races. But yeah, it is what it is. And yeah, just had to readjust this year, and hopefully we'll get the starts next year.
It's mad, isn't it? Because it is a bit like the Olympic selection or the Commonwealth Games selection, in that, you know, there has to be a cap, so not everyone can go. But it's when the people who might be ranked far, far, far below you get those start spots, and, you know, you miss out because there are so many. There is, yeah, that cap on how many triathletes can go from a particular country.
Yeah, I think it is frustrating because, like, I understand why they do it. I get that you can't have the whole start line made up of a few nations. But on the flip side, I kind of think there are plenty of other races for developing countries and developing athletes. And, you know, this isn't, you know, me just, you know, being all sour because I've not had the starts I wanted. But, you know, there's athletes that are racing that, you know, will get lapped out on the bike. And I kind of sit and I think, that's not good for the development of that athlete, nor is it good for the development of the sport. So on one hand, I understand that, you know, you have to, you know, cap a nation, and you can't have the whole, you know, field made up of America, Australia and the UK. But on the flip side, I kind of think that if you're ranked high enough to race at WTS level, then, you know, you should be allowed to race whether you're from, you know, one of those nations or not. And when I was in Tizzy, I was speaking to Chelsea Burns, one of the American athletes, and she was in exactly the same situation as me. She was like, you know, I'm ranked number six and I can't get the starts either. So, you know, it's not just the UK, and Australia will be in that position as well because they have such strong athletes as well. So it's just one of those things. But yeah, it's been frustrating to deal with that this year, I suppose.
Why is Great Britain so blinking good at the moment, especially on that female side?
I think we had a bit of a dip the last couple of years. You know, Non had been out injured, and Vicky had been out injured, and Georgia was, you know, stepping up, so she wasn't at the top there, and Jody had been injured, and Jess was coming through as well. So, you know, everyone was kind of either coming back from injury or just kind of like building up to the top of the WTS level. And, you know, now we've got, you know, literally all five of those girls have all got, you know, a couple of WTS medals, Olympic medals, Commonwealth medals. You know, they've all, you know, they've got loads between them. And, you know, they say that success breeds success, and it is true. You know, you kind of, I'm sitting here now and I know that I need to kind of be at that level if I'm going to start, you know, challenging as well. So I think, especially when it's your nation, you know, you kind of do have to step up if you want to be competitive, you know, just to get into the race, let alone in to win that race itself. So no, it has been good, and, you know, we all do get along really well outside of sport, so it is, you know, it's nice to see everyone do well, especially Georgia. You know, I've known Georgia for, absolutely years. You know, she's one of my closest friends, so it's been great to see her, you know, do as well as she has done, especially this year.
Do you, obviously you're based at Loughborough, what was the decision for you to base yourself there rather than go up to Leeds?
So my mum lives in Keyworth, which is 15 minutes away from Loughborough. So ever since I was about probably about 15, I'd been dropping in into the uni. Adam had started coaching me when I was 16, and you know, I went, you know, kind of just was like a natural progression for me to come to uni there. And I'm not a big fan of change at the best of times. I quite like, you know, routine and, you know, things like that. So I went to uni there, and I just love the setup that I have in Loughborough, and it is different to Leeds, and some people like the difference, you know, that Leeds have over Loughborough or vice versa. But you know, I quite like the fact that everything's on one campus. You have much close relationship with your personal coach. It's kind of a bit more specific, I'd say, and it is more that coach-athlete relationship, whereas in Leeds, a lot more of it's athlete-driven. I kind of prefer that. So, yeah, so the natural kind of thing for me was to stay in Loughborough, and, yeah, I really like being near home, and yeah, so it works out well when I've got to drop the dogs off for mum to look after as well, so it works both ways. So, yeah, like, and I can't see myself moving from Loughborough now for, you know, the foreseeable future either, so, yeah, no, I really like my little bubble.
Did you know Jodie very well before she moved to Loughborough for her training as well?
Not really, actually. I suppose, you know, she's a couple of years older than me, but she'd always been, you know, in Darren's squad, and she'd never really been in the UK. And I suppose when she'd come to do, you know, the back for WTS races and base herself in Europe, I was nowhere near that level of being at those races. So I'd never really met her when we were racing. I suppose I kind of, you know, knew more of her, I suppose, was probably be a better way. But, you know, very quickly became, you know, really good friends. And you know, she's probably one of my best friends now. And yeah, so it's been, you know, I think she's been in Loughborough about 2 years now. But she, you know, she's been a great addition to the centre.
There's a really, really, really lovely photo of you. Was it at Leeds? I'm not quite sure.
Yes.
But it was when,
yeah,
she punctured and you're going past, and the camera just gets it perfectly, and she's just cheering you on, even,
yeah,
though she's out of the race, and that probably sums her up to a T, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, she's one of those people that, you know, she obviously wants to do so well herself, and she's so driven. She's probably the most driven person I've ever met, but you know, she can, you know, take that away, and even, you know, when things haven't gone the way that she wants, you know, she didn't even finish the race, and yet she's still there cheering me on. And she feels the disappointment when I feel disappointment, and vice versa. And when we have a good session, it's the best thing. And you know, it's just kind of that relationship that we now have is more than just, well, we're just training partners. You know, it's that genuine, you know, feel for the success of the other person. So yeah, no, it's great having her around.
How difficult was it when you got the nod for the Commonwealth Games and she didn't?
It was a real odd one, really, because hand on heart, I didn't think I was going to get selected. You know, I kind of thought it was Jodie, and you know, it never really crossed my mind. And then when the email came through, I even screenshot it, sent to my coach, and I was like, "Yeah, is this? Am I selected?" Because I, like, even when it came through, I still didn't really believe it. But it was that disappointment for her as well, because I knew how much she wanted it, but we kind of saw each other, and we both kind of said, you know, she said congratulations to me, and I said, look, I am so disappointed for you, like, I'm gutted for you. And she said, we've got over that. And then she helped me massively with the whole preparation, and you know, she'd obviously been there, done it, got the 2 gold medals. So you know, she was, at no point did I feel this kind of, I don't know, bitterness towards me or anything like that at all. You know, she was obviously disappointed, but that in no way came across at all. And she was just supportive, and she was genuinely happy for me to be going. And, you know, we then, I think that came out at the end of middle of November or something like that. And then, you know, we then spent the next 3 weeks in December in South Africa, just the pair of us. And you know, a lot of people had asked us, so are you still training together like this? And we were like, yes, like, we are still training together. We are still going away, just the pair of us, you know, for 3 weeks training. And you know, and so many people just couldn't believe that we hadn't, you know, had like a falling out, or you know, we decided that we were gonna have a bit of time away from training together. And it was, at no point had that ever really crossed our minds. So yeah, it was tough, but you know, we both said that in the end of the day, like, no one was backhand, you know, was backhand to the other person, or you know, was sly or stabbed each other in the back. We just kind of did our races, they went forward, and that was it. So we can't really, you know, it wasn't anything personal against the other person, really.
Did she send you a little message the night before the race?
Oh yeah, she, you know, she was the first person to, you know, say good luck. And and ring me up and the next day and you know, chat about it. And you know, it was bittersweet, the whole commies experience for me, and she knew that. And you know, she's probably that best person to kind of evaluate it from an outside perspective, because obviously, you know, as a athlete yourself, you're just really harsh on yourself and things like that, whereas she kind of took a bit more of a perspective on it and you know, made me realize it wasn't all bad.
It really, so you finished sixth, didn't you? And
yes,
were you disappointed then with sixth initially?
It wasn't so much the finishing of sixth, like it wasn't that, it was just being so close to that breakaway, which I think just absolutely killed me. You know, being so close to that break of there is a medal there, and you know, I was probably 5 seconds off that break, and I think that made it so much harder to deal with, rather than you had finished sixth. Because if you'd have told me 18 months ago, not only are you going to commies, you're going to finish sixth, I would have been like, oh yeah, I would have taken that hands down, I would have bitten your hand off for that. But being in that situation of, I can literally see Flora and she is bridged up to Jess and I am not there, and that's your medal opportunity gone, it was just, yeah, it was hard, that initial blow of it being so close, I suppose.
And then it goes round and round in your head and you're just imagining.
What if?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think as any athlete, it is that, like, just being that close, I think, you know, and similarly in Leeds, like I'd known what training I was doing and what shape I was in. And then to absolutely blow up on the run, like it was just hard. That was everything this year has just kind of been just not quite there. And I think that's just been the frustration of this year, really, is I've not felt like I've put together the swim, bike, run quite right when it's mattered.
Do you feel like you've been doing triathlon for years? Because it's crazy. You are still only 23, aren't you?
Yeah, and I've been doing it for 15 years. So admittedly, you know, when I was younger, it was nowhere near what it is now. I used to basically train twice a week and then race every other weekend, so completely different to what it is now. But yeah, I feel like I have been doing it a long time, but I don't really know any different. And I think that's a big difference for me, is that this is just me, this is what I do. And you know, I suppose that's just how I am. Do you know what I mean? I've always done triathlon and definitely couldn't imagine not doing it. So yeah, but I feel like a veteran of the sport at 23.
So your first triathlon then was as an 8-year-old?
As an 8-year-old at Clifton Leisure Centre in Nottingham, yeah.
Oh my God. Do you remember it?
Oh yeah. And my mum had seen a local, I'd have been active as a kid, and she saw a local triathlon advertised at Clifton, thought, oh, this would be fun to do. So middle of September off we went. And I had one of her big t-shirts to put on because I was a little skinny 8-year-old and I was freezing. Had my literally 50-pound Halfords bike, which was about 10 times heavier than I was. We'd taken some toggles off an old jumper and put them in my shoes to have elastic laces. I couldn't even swim 50 meters front crawl, so I did one length front crawl and one length backstroke. But yeah, and at 8-year-olds, I won the event. And you know, when you kind of, you know, you get a trophy when you're that young, you just think this is the best thing ever. And then yeah, from there, just kind of did all of the youth and you know, children's races through the East Midlands. We used to travel all over Ipswich. We used to go down to Ipswich, Essex. There's one down in Deal. Oh, up to Scotland, across to Wales, and did all the children's races around the UK. And yeah, so I've kind of always done it, really, and that's kind of how it's been. So I don't really know any different.
And did you get sort of spotted / picked up quite early on to go into development squads and things?
Not really. I kind of joined a swim club when I was 10, because the swim distance was going up to 200 metres and I couldn't swim. I couldn't tumble turn. So the decision was made to join a swim club to learn how to tumble turn. And very quickly at swim club, I realised I was quite swift over 50 metres, and ended up getting a national time for that. And I'd say when I was about 14, 15, I never stopped doing triathlon, but my kind of you know, motivation turned a bit more to kind of getting 50 national time and stuff like that. And, you know, I was asked to trial for Nova, which is our county squad and stuff, but I never went on and did that. And then similarly with running, really, I picked up a medal at National Cross and, you know, had some pretty decent times of 8:15 when I was sort of like 15. But again, like, never fully made that commitment to leave triathlon. But it wasn't until I must have been 16 and I got selected to go to the youth relays, but I only went as a travelling reserve, so I didn't even get to race. And that was kind of my first experience, if you like, at kind of like international level. And, you know, I literally went and watched. I didn't even race, but, you know, that was the kind of, not the turning point, I'd say, but it was kind of like, oh my God, I've got a tri-suit with my name on it and GBR. And it was kind of like, this is really cool. And then the year after, got on to the Olympic talent squad. So I'd say it wasn't really until I was like 16, 17 that I kind of, you know, kind of started to do stuff within the GB squad. But even then, I wasn't, you know, winning stuff when I was younger. I could hardly swim when I was younger, could hardly bike. All I could do was run, and now it's kind of flipped around. But yeah, I wouldn't say I was, you know, I never won youth national titles or anything like that. It's kind of,
do you think it's just sort of the consistency of it all over a number of years?
I think so. And I think, you know, I never was, you know, unbelievable at one discipline. I mean, I'm not incredible at just swimming, biking or running. I'd say I was just, you know, average at all three. And I think that consistency of just, you know, doing that year after year, and especially the last couple of years with injuries and stuff, you just kind of, it makes you appreciate the consistency that you can get in. And yeah, I think especially being at Loughborough now and the last couple of years, and that structure of, you know, just the little things of adding gym in and, you know, plyo work and drills and all that structure of, you know, how does swim, bike, run actually fit in together has made a massive difference.
Is Tokyo the main goal over the next sort of 18 months, 2 years?
It is the main goal, but I still have to be realistic about that. And, you know, going back to, you know, earlier, there's five girls ahead of me that, you know, are incredible athletes. And we're talking about an Olympic Games where three of us will go. And, you know, and that doesn't even count the people that, you know, are up and coming, the youngsters and the people who've not had, you know, the last couple of years haven't gone their way. You know, you've still got India Lee and Lucy Hall and Bess coming through. And, you know, I train with Olivia. And so, you know, you start putting people like that and you think, you know, it only takes 1 year and, you know, you've then got 7-8 girls that are all challenging for those spots. So, you know, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't, you know, the forefront of the mind of it's Olympic Games in less than 2 years. But I'm still realistic in that I am only 23 and, you know, I might, probably won't go. But, you know, there's plenty of other things and stepping stones along the way, which would probably make, you know, the next Olympics probably a more realistic goal for me.
Do you remember London 2012, where you were, what you were doing when the triathlon races were on?
Yes, we were on a junior talent camp, and we'd actually gone down and watched the men's race. So we were in Hyde Park watching the men's race with literally all of us down there. And I've got a couple of pictures, and there's me and Georgia and Sean and, you know, quite a lot of people now that don't do it. But yeah, it's funny looking back on those pictures of us lot, you know, in Hyde Park cheering on the guys then.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's just mad that that was now 6 years ago. It's just bonkers.
Time literally flies so quick, and, you know, it's weird thing that, like, the year's nearly over already. So yeah, goes fast.
Is your nickname Cav?
Me?
Yeah.
You mean speaking to Jodie Stimpson?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't been speaking to Jodie, but please explain. Is it Cav?
No, it's not Cav. We were just on a training camp in Banyoles not so long ago. And we were on a bike session, and Adam had said to us, right, you're going to try and, you know, make this rep go as fast as possible. And we were like, right, okay then. So I took that as, like, I'll just smash the first 15 seconds of this 90 second rep. And Jodie won't mind me saying, I absolutely just dropped her for dead, really. And then consequently blew up myself, so it wasn't like I then just rode away for 90 seconds. But yeah, and then she came up to me, she was just like, all right Cav, stop dropping what bombs at me like that. And it just kind of was a running joke then for the rest of the camp, that whenever we're doing bike sessions, that it was a bit more controlled rather than just annihilate yourself for 20 seconds, really. it's not a nickname, but it was just a running joke for the last couple of weeks on camp, that I just needed to keep a bit of a lid on things rather than just annihilate myself.
Is it sometimes difficult to control that inner want to annihilate oneself and just smash yourself when you're in that group environment?
Yeah, I think it is and it isn't. I suppose like my strengths lie in that top end stuff. You know, me and Jodie are complete opposite in that respect, which I think is probably why we train so well together. In that, you know, a lot of our sessions, especially in the pool, we don't actually have the same sessions because I could swim top end stuff, and go pretty fast, but it would absolutely, I'd annihilate myself. Whereas Jodie could swim all day, but just doesn't really have that top end stuff. So I think from that point of view, it's, you know, I love being able to do that top end stuff, but I kind of have to keep a lid on that. And I think being in the group definitely does that on one hand, but then on the other hand, when you're on a bike session and everyone gets a bit excited, you just want to smash it. And, me and Jodie end up giving each other a look like, oh, let's go then, let's have a bit of fun. And it's just like, no, calm down. And sometimes we do get a bit told off for that, but, you know, we're just having fun. So, yeah.
You've got to make it fun or else it'd be boring.
But sometimes we get told off like that was not the aim of the exercise. And we were like, no, it wasn't really, was it? And we just kind of look at each other and be like, oh yeah, but it was good fun. So we sometimes do get a bit carried away on the bike, especially, you know, up around Pressworld, closed circuit, and, you know, the pair of us then jump in with the lads and kind of, you know, hang on there and stuff. So yeah, but it is good fun and I wouldn't change that bit anyway.
So how do you mix the triathlon with your DIY?
Well, I kind of try to do it when I'm not racing as much, but I do kind of get a bit carried away. Like, literally before I was going off to Tartu, I was like, I wonder what my stairs are like under this carpet. And I start pulling the carpet up and I'm like, oh my God, put the carpet back and just leave it. Like, put the carpet down, so stop pulling the carpet up. But I do get a bit carried away like that. But no, I really enjoy doing it. And I kind of like, I always think, like, especially now I don't have any uni and anything like that, I quite like having something else to do and like read about and check up on and look at what I'm doing and looking at color swatches and all of that. So yeah, I'm middle aged. But no, I enjoy doing it, and like I've done all sorts of tiling and I've got rid of, put a half in from a log burner and turfing, and yeah, just, you know, just getting on with it.
Oh, I'm impressed.
Thanks. But yeah, it's quite good when people come and go, who did you get in to do that? I'm like, I did it, yeah, I did all of that. I'm like, no, you didn't. I'm like, yes, I did do that. Don't knock me down. But no, it's good. And in my off season, I'll definitely like look to do other bits and pieces. But I just have to be careful because sometimes you forget that like stripping wallpaper and painting and stuff is basically like an arm session in the gym, and then you wonder why the next day you can't swim. So you do have to be a bit careful. But when I first got my house and moved in, I basically gave myself chronic fatigue for a week because I was just like moving everything in and like doing bits and painting this. And I was like, Adam was like, what is going on? I was like, I'm just so tired. He was like, you have literally trained like 24 hours a day doing this house. I was like, I know, I'm so tired. So yeah, kind of put a lid on that for a couple of weeks while I'm just so heavy with racing. But come October, there'll be carpets coming up and wallpaper coming off, so don't worry.
Frequent trips to B&Q.
Oh, I've literally like, you open my purse and there's Screwfix, B&Q, IKEA, club cards. I'm like a regular to these shops. So yeah, they know me now.
I love it. What's your pre-race prep? What does that look like?
In terms of the day of, or
the week, you know, the week leading up to a race, what do you have to tick off on your pre-race prep box?
For me, it's kind of a bit different whether it's like a real key race or not a key race. If it was kind of like looking in for a key race, then the week before would be when I take a couple of easy days out of training, and then I tend to build back up into the race. So if you say the race is on a Saturday, kind of that Saturday, Sunday, Monday before the race would be pretty easy for me. But then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'd really build back into that, to that race, and do some, not loads of quality work, but there'd be, you know, a decent threshold swim in there, a decent bike session, you know, probably 5-6k track session in there as well. So if not, I just feel really flat. So that kind of work back into the race is key for me. And then the day of the race, if it's an afternoon race, I'll go out for a jog in the morning, only like 15-20 minutes, but just get myself moving. Always do a swim warm-up, unless it's like Baltic, but I've not really had that yet. a bit of land work with a band, and then ready to go. So I'm definitely one of those athletes that has to kind of get things firing back up again and work back in, whereas someone like Jodie, for example, she's like the opposite. She'd kind of take out a lot of volume and work and make sure she really freshens up for the race.
And I guess that always comes down to the individual, doesn't it? Everyone's different about how they prepare for a race and how that sort of last week might look if you've got, you know, big A race in a season or something.
Yeah, I suppose the only time it's different is if, you know, you're kind of racing quite frequently. You know, if you do that, then you kind of take out a lot of work. So, you know, if it's not such a key race. So, for example, when we raced the relays last week, you know, basically the only thing that came out was on Friday, I didn't do a run session. That was basically the only thing that came out. And then obviously didn't do a long ride the morning of the race. But then, you know, back on Monday, we were back doing, you know, 2.5 hours on the bike and a double run day. So, yeah, it's just that call about where it is in the season and what the aims are of that race.
Will there always be, 15, 20 minutes put aside to do your nails pre-race?
I normally get them done before I go. So there's a lady that she doesn't live too far away from me and she does them for me and makes them look nice and pretty so I don't have to worry about them. But yeah, if you don't have your nails on for race day, it's not going to go well. It's not going to be a good day, which really made me panic for Tartu because I broke one of my nails and it was really bad. And I was thinking, if I have a bad race, it's going to be because I broke that nail 100%. But thankfully, it didn't happen, so it was all okay. Right. The broken nail didn't cost me the race.
Phew.
Thank God, yeah.
So are you looking forward to heading back down under, back to the Gold Coast? It'd be weird twice in a year.
I know, it's just a lot of travel. Everyone's like, oh, it's going to be so exciting. I was like, it would be if it just wasn't so far away. But no, I really enjoy being out in Australia. I think, you know, of all the places to train and stuff, you know, it's definitely up there for me. And I really don't mind spending a couple of weeks away from home. Like, normally I'm quite a homey person. I've liked the consistency and the normality of being at home and knowing that everything's just so easy at home. But I do enjoy training in Australia. I really enjoyed the training out in Noosa before commies this year. So, yeah, no, it should be good. And there's quite a lot of us going out there, so there'll definitely be enough people to train with.
And will you be based in Noosa again for a couple of weeks then before the race?
I think this year we're just going to stay in Gold Coast. We don't really have enough time to kind of travel down to Noosa, train there and travel back, because by the time we've gone after Montreal, we've kind of only got 2 weeks of training before, you know, you're dropping into briefings and recces and stuff. So the likelihood we'll just stay in Gold Coast, especially by the time people have recovered after Montreal and then gotten training again, we're probably looking at maybe a 10-day block at most.
And is the course exactly the same as the one that they used during the Commonwealth Games?
No, it's slightly different. The swim's very similar, obviously, apart from it being two laps. And then the bike, it's very similar, but not quite the same. But it's different again from when they used the Gold Coast for the WTS event a couple of years back. So they've kind of, it's similar, but not the same. So definitely have to check that out properly when we get down there.
And any tips for age groupers? Because obviously there will be a lot of age groupers going out to race as well at the World Championships. Any tips for them?
I think a lot of it's just going to be that around the heat and the jet lag and stuff. I think depending on how long before you go out, it's really trying to get on top of that jet lag as quickly as possible. The first few days, if you just don't nap, I know it absolutely kills me. I'm a queen of napping. Every day I'd have a nap at home. So if you can kind of get that jet lag sorted as quickly as possible, that'd be a massive benefit. But equally, that first couple of days you will feel really crappy. You know, your body thinks it's asleep and you're asking it to go for a run and stuff, so give it a couple of days to get on top of it. But then yeah, once you're going, you should be fine. And then similarly with just the hydration, I think you've done all the work and stuff, so you don't want to just jeopardize your race because you're not hydrated or fueled properly. So I think just those basic things would make a massive difference come race day.
And finally, do you pack chocolate when you travel, Sophie? Or can you cope
chocolate.
With local chocolate? Can you,
well,
can you deal with
this
it?
Well, this is the thing. It's not quite the same as it when you're away. Like, chocolate at home is the best chocolate. But I'll definitely take some sweets with me, just to make sure we've got stuff to travel with. You don't want to be on the long haul without any sweets, do you? So, yeah, you ask Jodie. Anything sweet is absolute killer for me. But yeah, no, I love all sweets, chocolate, cakes, brownies, queen of them all. So yes.
Do you sometimes find it difficult sometimes to actually kind of get, no, I've got to watch it this week or whatever?
Yeah, that is I'd say like that is definitely my biggest thing. I'd say like normally like food, like breakfast, lunch and dinner, like, you know, it's fine, it's got everything I need in there, it's, you know, 99% healthy and stuff. But yeah, my biggest downfall is definitely by the time I'll be really good in the day and it'll get to about 8:30 and I'm like, oh my days, I just need some chocolate biscuits, I need something. And it's just, I just can't do it. But compared to what I was when I was younger, I am literally 10 times better. So step in the right direction, we'll say that.
Awesome. Sophie, thank you so much.
No, not at all. It's been a pleasure.
And it'll be great to see her racing in the Gold Coast then, Hells. It's brilliant when something like that happens and someone gets a break after the interview's been done, isn't it?
Well, yeah, so she was there, obviously, she was saying in the interview with Team England at the Commonwealth Games, finishing 6th. But then, as she was saying, that, you know, with the competition on that GB women's side, it's just so tough at the moment, and how you get the starts and the points.
It's really
and all
tough,
that
isn't it? Yeah, being 6th really, in Britain, really, but possibly 10th in the world and not getting a chance to get a start. It's, yeah, you got to really feel for her. So it's good to see her get that chance.
Oh, absolutely. And as she said there, Rob, you know, 8:30 at night, what, we're nearing that, needing a few chocky bickies, don't we all? Aren't we all in that position? Some nights. But anyway, if you do see Sophie, if you are in the GB age group team, you're heading out to Australia to support maybe, and you do see her, take her some sweets or cakes for her post-race treats. I'm sure she'll be very grateful.
Post-race, not pre-race, that's the thing.
Correct, post-race. Yeah.
All right, a couple of items of news then to round out the show today. The first bit of news is that you've got a few days left to get your name down for the Outlaw Triathlon for 2019 to pre-register for those events.
Yeah, if you head to outlawtriathlon.com and the pre-registration information will be there now.
Essentially, 10th year, isn't it?
It is going to be the 10th year.
10th year next year, so they're expecting lots and lots of people signing up for the 10th anniversary. So if you want to get in, get your year, it's getting sooner and sooner every year, isn't it? Plan next year's season already.
I know.
I think
so. Pre-register by Wednesday, the September the 5th, at midnight.
Cool stuff. And they've got some different special offers on there where you can enter more than one race and get a discount. And I think because the Outlaw Half Nottingham has been so popular in the past, they're going to give you an advanced opportunity to sign up for it if you also sign up for one of the other races. So yeah, get on it if you want to race there next year, I reckon.
Totally. We'll be there next year, won't we, Rob?
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's you and me go head to head, Helen.
I'm not signing up for that, but I reckon I will be. I will be at I'll be at Outlaw in some form or another next year at some point.
Good.
Yes.
Good stuff. All right, now then, another shout out here to our old mate Decker Dave Clamp, who recently finished 3rd at the it's called the Continuous Decker Ironman, this one, isn't it? Which,
yeah, that's right.
Just for another layers of bonkersness.
So this one was a 38-kilometer swim, a 1,800-kilometre bike, and a 422-kilometre run.
As you
do. Dave finished 3rd out of 13. His overall time, Rob, 226 hours. That's mental, isn't it?
It's ridiculous, yeah, including time to lie down and have a sleep.
Your transition time was 20 hours in total, 20 and a half hours.
Wow.
It's not that much, is it?
2 hours of transition time.
20.
Day.
Yeah. His swim time was just under 24 hours.
That's just ridiculous.
It's crazy, isn't it? His bike time for 1,800 kilometres blows Portugal out of the blooming... blows it out of any of planet Earth, doesn't it? 95 hours, nearly 96 hours on the bike. Oh, God. Imagine your backside after that. Seriously?
Yeah.
Does he have any man bits left? I mean, God, they would be... Yeah. Right, and then his 422K run was 106 and a half hours.
Decker Dave, you absolute beautiful lunatic. We love you. Congratulations. 59 years young and still kicking it like the youngster that you are. You're an inspiration, young man.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, next bit of news then. Gwen Jorgensen is going over to Chicago.
Yeah, that's right, Rob. She will make her marathon debut at the Chicago Marathon next month, which is the 7th of October. Wow. That's obviously making her transition from triathlete to mum to that statement of intent going for gold at Tokyo in the marathon. So, yeah, she's done, 5,000 metres indoor. She's done a 10,000 metre outdoor. She's done a half marathon. She did a 110, finishing fourth at the US Half Marathon Championships.
What do you think she'll do over the marathon distance?
Time-wise?
Prediction, yeah. What do you think she'll do?
Oh, Rob, that's a difficult question.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Under 2:30?
My initial thinking was 2:28 or 2:29, but I think that's a bit silly.
You just don't know, do you? With a 1:10 half, no. She's got the leg speed. It's just, you just don't know what's going to happen in the second half, in the first one.
No.
It's, yeah, bless her. Anyway, good luck, Gwen.
Oh,
no pressure.
Don't make me predict times again. That's not fun. And then finally, Rob, the start lists have been announced for Super League Triathlon. So the final will be in Australia. Final will be in Australia. Okay. But before that, it'll kick off in Jersey, which is, around about a month's time. Yeah?
Yeah.
It is the who's who, Rob, of... it's great. Like, you just sort of go down the list and it's like, yeah, that's very cool. So the likes of Jodie Stimpson, Sophie Caldwell, who we had on, Vicky Holland, who is very much in line at the moment to win the overall World Triathlon Series title at Gold Coast. You've got the likes of Flora Duffy on that start list. The Brownleys.
All the big names are there, aren't they?
Yeah, Matt Hauser, who we're going to have on the show next week.
Helen, the big question is, are the ladies going to get decent uniforms this year? Do you remember that uniform they had to wear last time? There was like a t-shirt top and a Speedo's bottom.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah, not great. Sort it out. No.
Yeah, don't know.
All right. Well, that's pretty much it then, isn't it? We should wrap the show up for this week.
I think we should. I'm going to go and eat some food, Rob.
Good stuff. Well, listen, everyone, thanks very much for listening. Quick shout out again to our sponsors, precisionhydration.com. Use the code OxygenAddict to get $9.99's worth of free pH. Foodcell.co.uk, you can check it out there and get 20% off with the code OXYGEN20, valid until the 9th of September. So you've only got a few days to get on that one. And again, check out 3o.co.uk and use the code OXYGEN10 until the end of September there. So great, everyone. Have a fantastic, safe training and racing week. We'll speak to you all again soon. And if you're still listening, if you could leave us a review on iTunes, that would be really awesome. We'd really appreciate it. Apparently, the people who leave reviews on iTunes make the little iTunes engine go bonkers hells and it moves us up the rankings and more people see us. So we'd love that. So we'd really appreciate it. All right, everyone. Thanks very much. I'm Rob Wilby.
I'm Helen Murray.
And we'll speak to you again soon. Cheers, everyone. See ya.